This is The Beat, a podcast series that keeps you in the know about the latest community policing topics facing our nation.
Mike, thanks so much for joining us today. We have talked a lot about the new economic realities. What do you think they mean for both the private sector and the public sector?
Well, what I think they mean is that I think we often operate under the illusion that there will come a time when we get back to quote-unquote normal. And I think this is the new normal. And so we've got to design my – I've got to set up my security office, and a police chief has to set up his police department under this new reality and quit relying on the fact that we'll be rescued or more money will come or everybody will see the essentialness of what it is we do. That is not automatic anymore. I don't think that can be assumed anymore.
You don't think that's going to happen, that even if we get more money, we could go back to where we were?
I don't think necessarily so. You've got a lot of places where law enforcement officers are down, and yet the crime is down as well. So I think we're going to have to ask different questions, and we're going to have to look at old traditional models of how we've always done our business and maybe think about doing it differently.
What do we need to do differently? How do we need to think about it differently, and what do we need to do differently?
Well, I think one of the things that I bring from my experience at Verizon is I didn't come with any baggage. I didn't come with any idea of how we were supposed to do our business. So that allowed me to ask some very difficult questions very early on in my tenure as the chief security officer there. So I wanted to know with a great deal of transparency what each subunit under me was responsible for and what they were doing. And I can assure you that any chief that goes through that same exercise is going to find people doing things that, number one, they either need to do less of, need to not be doing at all, or perhaps need to be doing more of. But it's going to inform he or she how they can rearrange the deck chairs and get more efficiency out of the same number of people or even fewer people.
Can you give me an example, too, of what you've done along those lines at Verizon?
Sure. Like I said before, I've conducted operational reviews, and that is getting at the crux of what everyone was doing and how they were doing it. I was looking at our average investigative time, and I was looking at some of the more serious cases that we do. And one of the things I was told is, well, you have to understand how long it takes an investigator to go through all of that paper. Well, I had cybersecurity under me as well. And I thought, how are we not automating this process? How are we not automating this process of review? The fact of the matter is, in most complex cases, the evidence resides in the data. So how do we get the data to talk to us automatically? How do we automate that? So if we have transactions at the front end of a sale that appear to be bad, how do we get something that tells us about that in advance? But the traditional investigators and the cyber investigators simply did not want to come and join hands. Why? Because if we can leverage technology against a loss of headcount, then the loss of headcount becomes less threatening. Rather than thinking about how we might better use that headcount, people were resistant because they thought it's going to mean my job. And so one of the things you've got to be willing to do is ask the hard questions and press for that. I have one other example I could give you. When I'm looking at our CCTV cameras in all of our facilities, thousands of facilities, then we started building centralized monitoring plants. But guess what? In every facility, I had an officer monitoring the CCTV camera for that facility. When I centrally monitored that capability, we still had that officer monitoring those CCTVs. Well, I said, why are we doing that? Well, the answer I got was if he or she sees something, we want them to be able to intervene right away. And I said, when's the last time that happened? Because CCTVs tend to be post-incident rather than while the incident is happening. And it simply hadn't happened in anybody's memory. So we started using the centralized monitoring plant for what it was intended to do and connect that person with a rover at the various facilities. So you get the same effect, but with a whole lot less people.
It sounds like what you're saying is we have to look at what's relevant and we have to prioritize. Is that fair to say law enforcement has to?
Absolutely. You really have to look at what's relevant. And, you know, we've labored under the philosophy that if we're doing it, it must be important because we wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't important. Well, if you believe that, then you believe you're also impervious to any type of change because everything you're doing is relevant. Everything you're doing is important. But the way I would challenge a chief is say, okay, let's assume that that's true. Then prioritize it. Go through the exercise. If you had to lose 20% of your department tomorrow, what would that look like? How would that be? and then take yourself through that exercise, because that'll do a number of different things to you. It'll also tell you how to push back on those cuts if you can. But with numbers, with hard numbers, with hard data, we've got to stop using so much emotion in terms of what we do, because we always want to sound like if we lose 3 officers, it's going to have a cataclysmic effect on the security of our city. And that just isn't true. And so we've got to tap down the emotion, particularly in this economic reality we exist in today, and we've got to figure out, what does this really mean? How do I explain this to people so that it's not always about innocent women and children? I always wonder about innocent men. Aren't we innocent too? I don't want to just die.
So it sounds like you're saying, if I say I'm down 20 officers from 5 years ago, that's no longer a valid argument.
No, I don't even think it's an argument at all. I think it's a meaningless statement. Without a lot of other data behind it, it is a meaningless statement. So it's the so what factor. What you essentially have to say is, what does that mean? Have our response times increased? Have our resolutions of crimes decreased? What impact has that had? What tangible impact that a layperson can understand? So just talking about what you had before, it portends the argument that there is a magic number out there below which a department can never go, but it can always go up. When's the last time a police department came in and said, our population has shifted? Our crime picture is down. We can actually decrease officers. Probably never. So all I'm suggesting is that to pretend that there is a magic number out there is just a non-starter. And my people are the same way in the private sector. When we were given a 10% cut in 2009, my people wanted me to start with the argument of what they took away from us in 2005. And I said they couldn't care less. And so I think what the public sector has to do and what police chiefs have to do is get very, very good at making sure they have the right metrics so that when a cut is coming, you can make an argument for or against that cut without even doing a deep dive, because you're keeping the kinds of metrics that matter. And I think that's what's important. I think that's what we have to do.
Last question. If you were a chief in today's environment, what are some of the first things you would do?
If I was a newly appointed chief, and given that in mid-sized to large cities, you may have a tenure of 3 to 5 years, the first thing I'd recognize is I don't have forever to be effective. I don't have forever to get to know my job and the scope of what we do. And one of the things I would do is just what I did at Verizon. I would do these operational reviews, or I'd have my staff do operational reviews. But I would create the questions getting at, what is the value that subunit gives us? Is that value still relevant? Is the way they're doing their work still the right way to do it? Do we have the right people doing it? In other words, do I need sworn officers doing that, or could I have civilians doing that work? And so I would ask a host of questions like that that would get at how are we being productive, and are we being productive in the best and most effective manner possible?
Thank you so much, Mike, for joining us.
Oh, well, thank you for inviting me.
The Beat was brought to you by the United States Department of Justice Cops Office. The COPS Office helps to keep our nation's communities safe by giving grants to law enforcement agencies, developing community policing publications, developing partnerships, and solving problems.